KNOM Update News. I'm Zachariah Hughes, and it's 9:02. Just ahead of the weekend, a proposal to amend Alaska's constitution to allow for public money to go to private or religious schools has been placed on the Senate calendar and will be coming up for a vote on the floor today. According to the Anchorage Daily News, Senate Joint Resolution 9's sponsor, Senator Mike Dunleavy, would not say on Friday evening whether he had enough votes for the measure to pass. Dunleavy did say, however, that he had a pretty good sense about the expected outcome, leaving it at that. Constitutional amendments require a two-thirds vote of each chamber. That means at least 14 of the 20 senators would have to vote in support. So far, at least 7 have signed on to SJR 9 as co-sponsors. A similar measure is pending in the House. A Senate majority spokeswoman said that although the measure is on the calendar for Monday, she expected amendments and debate would happen on Wednesday. The issue has sparked strong reaction on both sides of the subject and was the subject of a recent rally by opponents in front of the state capitol. Critics of the measure fear it would take money away from public schools, but supporters say it would allow parents more choices in how they educate their children. Governor Sean Parnell, in his State of the State speech, called on lawmakers to debate the measure and send it to voters to let them decide. If approved, legislation spelling out how the change would be implemented would still have to be passed. Dunleavy has an extensive background in education, including as a public school teacher and a school board member. While he has said repeatedly that he supports public education, he also says children have different needs. He's stated that a goal with SJR 9 is to clarify that funds used for learning plans by students attending correspondence schools can be used for classes or tutoring through private or religious schools. After sitting in limbo for nearly a year, a controversial permitting bill is on the move again. House Bill 77 has been sent back to the Senate Resources Committee, and it's scheduled for hearings next week. Governor Sean Parnell introduced the bill last session. He pitched it as a way of reducing the permitting backlog, but tribal organizations, fishing groups, and environmental outfits came out strongly against it. They argued it would limit public involvement in land management decisions and give the Natural Resources Commissioner blanket authority to issue general permits. Natural Resources Commissioner Joe Balash says a new version of the bill will be released on Monday and public testimony will be taken Wednesday. He says some of the more contentious provisions have been removed.
What we did was sit down and figure out how it is we could still achieve our objectives and be responsive to those criticisms.
Balash says DNR will still be allowed to issue general permits for a wide variety of human activity, but those permits will get public notice and there'll be an opportunity for appeal. Language allowing DNR to override other state laws has been stripped. The commissioner will also have to consider significant and irreparable harm to habitat when issuing a permit. The previous versions of the bill required environmental damage to hit both of those thresholds before it was sufficient to block a permit. Balash says the new draft will also allow individuals to apply for water reservations, which are usually used to protect fish habitat.
We sat down and really mapped out, okay, what's our problem? Our problem is that it isn't that individuals are applying for reservations. That's not the problem. The real problem is that those applications are being turned around and used as a reason to stop all other permitting.
Balash says that the process surrounding water reservations will be changed. If the bill passes, water rights applications would no longer block other permits for temporary uses of water. The bill has already passed the House, but was unable to get enough votes in the Senate in its current form. Iditarod teams are less than a day away from Nome, and some mushers still don't have a place to sleep once they get here. Mushers have long depended on Nome residents to provide them with a place to rest after the thousand-mile journey. However, over the last 5 years, it's become more difficult to find hosts to house mushers. Deborah Menendez is the Iditarod Nome Housing Coordinator.
Nomeites seem to be downsizing. We've had several of our long-term housing hosts move out of town, and the economy as a whole. We also have a lot of temporary housing being taken up by some of the new enterprises in Nome.
Menendez says about 10% of mushers book hotel rooms and a few rent houses, but those are usually veteran racers with large sponsors. The rest of the competitors depend on host families. While many Nome residents are willing to open their homes, some offer at a cost, up to $150 a night per person for floor space. But Menendez only coordinates with hosts offering free housing.
Well, it's extremely expensive just to get to the start of the race, especially the rookies.
And the rookies are the mushers hit hardest by the housing crunch. While veterans have established a reputation and reputations around town, some staying with host families for across decades, rookies are unknowns without a foothold in the community. However, this year, there are veterans having a hard time finding a place to lodge as well. As of Sunday night, 5 veterans and 4 rookies still do not have a room to sleep in once they arrive. Menendez attributes the veterans' difficulty to former hosts having downsized or moved out of town. The rookies' trial comes not only from their obscurity, but also from having only 2 having scratched so far this year. Menendez says Nome has never failed to house a musher. Once the first teams cross the finish line, people get excited, word of mouth spreads, and the housing shortage closes traditionally. But this year, mushers are approaching faster than ever before, diminishing that grace period.
It's been a fast trail, so whereas we would expect a lot of the mushers typically to come in later in the week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, those mushers may be coming in sooner, and that's the issue that we're seeing this year.
Hosting a musher, Menendez says, comes with a lot of perks, like hearing race details and stories from the trail, as well as forming relationships spanning state, country, and the world. Menendez says families and individuals who open their homes often show great hospitality to mushers, providing home-cooked meals, transporting mushers to and from the dog lot, and some hosts even sleeping on their couch so that the musher can sleep in a bed after many days on the trail. Despite the current housing deficit, Menendez remains optimistic that every musher will have a place to stay this year.
Nome always comes through. We have never failed to house a musher that needed housing, and that's only through the generosity of the Nome residents.
As of Sunday night, Menendez says Iditarod officials are expecting the first mushers into Nome late Monday night or early Tuesday morning. To host a musher, call 443-MUSH. That's 443-6874. That number one more time, 443-6874. And the United States and 4 other Arctic nations have tentatively agreed to prevent commercial fishing in the high Arctic. The Canadian Press reports that Canada, Denmark, Norway, and Russia signed on to the ban after 3 days of meetings in Greenland last week. The measure was originally pitched by the United States and didn't have support from Norway or Russia until now. The details of the ban are still being worked out, but the basics are clear. Countries will have to do more scientific research on Arctic fish stocks. In the meantime, they'll not engage in commercial fishing in the Arctic Ocean outside of their 200-mile exclusive economic zones. In the United States, that area begins on the northern edge of Alaska. Fishing has already been banned within the American Arctic since 2009. Because this new moratorium applies to international waters, though, in the Arctic Ocean, there's no guarantee that other countries will choose to honor it. The next step is to get more nations on board beyond these 5 Arctic states. In a statement, the Arctic group said they plan to spend the rest of the year lobbying for broader support. Price of gold is up 90 cents to $13.40 an ounce, silver down 1 cent to $20.88, and zinc is at 93 cents a pound. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is expected to arrive on time in Nome at 11:35. Unofficially, it is 2 below zero outside the KNOM studios, 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.